Good morning. This meeting will come to order. Welcome to the November 20th, 2025 regular meeting of the Government Audit and Oversight Committee of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. I'm Supervisor Jackie Fielder, Chair of the Committee, joined by Vice Chair Danny Sauter and Supervisor Sherrill. Our committee clerk is Monique Creighton, and our thanks to Jaime Echeverry of SFGov TV for staffing this meeting. Madam Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes. Public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to me, the Government Audit and Oversight Committee Clerk at monique.craighton@sfgov.org. If you can submit public comment via email, it will be forwarded to the supervisors and also included as part of the official file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. Postal Service to our office in City Hall. Number 1, Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, Room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. If you have documents you would like to be included as part of the file, please submit them to me before the end of the meeting. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices to prevent any interruptions to today's proceedings. Finally, items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of December 2nd, 2025, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call item 1.
Yes, item 1 is a resolution authorizing the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing's Executive Director, Chief Deputies, Deputy Directors, and Program Directors to solicit donations from various private entities and organizations to support the expansion of temporary shelter and other homeless services to support people experiencing homelessness, notwithstanding the behested payment ordinance.
Thank you. And today we have Executive Director of HSH, Shereen McSpadden, who will be presenting on this item. My thanks also to Deputy Director Emily Cohen and Dylan Schneider for being available for questions. Director McSpadden, please go ahead.
Great. Good morning, Chair Fielder and members of the committee. Thanks so much for the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm here to respectfully request an extension of the behested payment waiver for myself and for key HSH leadership. This waiver remains essential for our ability to fundraise, explore philanthropic partnerships, and to coordinate private support that expands the reach of and fills gaps for San Francisco's homelessness response system. This request is fully aligned with the intent of the legislation before you, which recognizes that expanding shelter and services is in the public interest and that this waiver does not create impropriety in appearance or actual in any way. The waiver is necessary because San Francisco continues to face profound homelessness challenges. The 2024 point in time count found that 8,323 people experiencing homelessness, more than half of whom, 52%, were unsheltered. And obviously, our system cannot pay for the needs of people experiencing homelessness by ourselves. We need strategic partnerships. Our strategic plan, Home by the Bay, calls for a significant expansion of new shelter beds to meet our goal of reducing unsheltered homelessness. While the department continues to expand shelter, prevention, and housing, we know city resources alone are not enough, and it is also well established that city funds do not even fully cover the cost of the interventions for which we're contracting. The resolution explicitly acknowledges that successful solutions depend on public-private partnerships, and this waiver enables those partnerships to happen. Most major philanthropic partners working on homelessness also work in policy or systems change, and under the behested payment ordinance, that often places them in the attempt to influence category, classifying them as interested parties even when their work is charitable and aligned with city goals. This includes partners like the Tipping Point Community and the Housing Accelerator Fund, both of which are considered interested parties to HSH. Without the waiver, our leadership cannot engage them in coordinating fundraising conversations. Public appeals alone cannot replace the direct individualized outreach necessary to build multi-party funding strategies that are responsible, aligned, and transparent. The previous waiver was used in multiple ways. First, supporting the Mayor's Breaking the Cycle initiative. Under the previous waiver, the department participated in conversations with funders and partners to shape the investment strategy for Mayor Lori's Breaking the Cycle Fund, which launched with $37.5 million in private seed funding to support behavioral health, homelessness response, and public space improvements. Second is Raphael House Family Shelter Expansion. HSH leadership connected philanthropic funders with Raphael House, enabling them to complete their capital fundraising to expand family shelter capacity. This led to 24 new family shelter beds contracted with HSH in fall of 2025. Case management system-wide training. Responding to community and board feedback about the quality of case management services in shelter and housing, HSH engaged Tipping Point, which in turn is funding a portfolio-wide training to improve culturally competent trauma-informed case management across HSH-funded programs. And then a family homelessness prevention pilot. Through coordinated fundraising with Tipping Point, HSH helped secure $11 million for an 18-month prevention pilot to provide direct assistance to 1,500 families, develop a coordinated prevention system, and build a dedicated data platform. The city will use these lessons to shape long-term family homelessness prevention strategies. These are tangible, high-impact examples of what becomes possible only when HSH leadership is authorized to engage directly with philanthropic partners who may otherwise be considered interested parties. And then we just want to say that we have a commitment to full transparency and reporting. So under the legislation, HSH must report all donations solicited under the waiver, including donor name, donation amount, and interested party relationship. Reports must be submitted to the board within 60 days of the waiver's expiration. Our report for the previous waiver will be submitted by or before December 15th, which is the due date. No HSH employee covered by the waiver is a recipient of any of the behested funds. So in closing, I want to emphasize that the waiver is a public interest tool that allows us to leverage private partnerships responsibly at a time when San Francisco urgently needs expanded shelter, prevention, and housing resources. This extension will allow HSH to continue pursuing innovative, coordinated, and accountable partnerships to bring more people inside and to support our most vulnerable residents. Thanks so much, and I'm happy to answer any questions, as is Dylan.
Thank you so much, Director. Colleagues, any comments or questions? Vice Chair Sauter.
Thank you, Chair. Just want to briefly thank you for the update and appreciate hearing for Raphael House. That's a District 3 long-time partner in this work, so I'm very happy to hear that this helped facilitate that expansion and that investment. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Director. A lot of my questions were answered. I just have a few that I want a bit of clarification on. For the previous waiver, you mentioned Housing Accelerator Fund and Tipping Point. Are those all the specific interested parties that HSH solicited under the previous waiver?
So we have, it's a list in here. Sorry. Okay. So we, and as I said earlier, it's a bit of a gray area, you know, about who's an interested party and who isn't. We want to, you know, have an abundance of caution when we think about who we're working with. Other ones that we've had conversations with are Crankstart and Schwab. We've had conversations with other philanthropic organizations as well. So, you know, again, we don't always know what all of their activities are with in relationship to the city, and we want to make sure that even if they might be an interested party, that we have some sort of cover.
Thank you. And I am wondering, could all of those interested parties solicited make it in your report for this pass waiver?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask for the current waiver, similar question. You mentioned Housing Accelerator Fund and Tipping Point. For clarity, are those all the specific interested parties that you anticipate to be solicited?
I mean, again, I think it would be the same. Like Crankstart and Schwab are also organizations that we're talking, or, you know, philanthropic organizations that we're talking to. We've certainly had other conversations. I think it really depends at the time that we have these conversations, whether they're an interested party at that time or not. I'm not sure I can anticipate all of that because it really depends on other activities that they have with the city as well.
Are you able to submit a memo detailing the interested parties you plan to solicit through this waiver? the identity of those parties, if they are known, and why you believe they are interested parties?
So we submitted this morning this backup for the waiver request that lists these parties out. So yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. I think those are all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Madam Clerk, let's take public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Taylor Jackson, intern for Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas, and I also am a seated member of the Kansas City's Planning Council. Today I'm here on behalf of Ordinance 251107. Please accept my attendance as support of this ordinance, the behested payment waiver for temporary shelter and homeless services. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Do we have any additional public speakers? That concludes public comment.
Seeing no one else making public comment is now closed. Colleagues, I'm introducing amendments today to this item to add reporting requirements to the Board of Supervisors 60 days after the expiration of this waiver, which is in line with other behested payment waivers. I have copies of the amended legislation. My staff has also emailed them to you. And I'm very thankful for HSH for answering all of our questions and for agreeing to this amendment. And I now move to amend this item as presented. Madam Clerk, can we please call the roll?
Yes, and on that motion to amend this item as presented, Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill. Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder.
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. I now move to send the original file to the full Board of Supervisors with positive recommendation. Madam Clerk, can we call the roll?
Yes, and on that motion to forward this item as amended to the full Board of Supervisors with positive recommendation. Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill.
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder.
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call item two.
Yes, item two is a resolution authorizing a six-month waiver of the city's behested payment ordinance for the mayor, members of the mayor's office, and the executive director of the Office of Economic and Workforce Development to solicit donations from nonprofits, private organizations, grant makers, foundations, and other persons and entities for the purpose of supporting the continued economic revitalization of San Francisco, pursuant to Section 3.620 of the Campaign and Governmental Conduct Code.
Thank you. And Ms. Crezia Tano, the Chief Operating Officer at Office of Economic and Workforce Development, is here to present on this item. Ms. Tano, please go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Fielder, Supervisor Sauter, and Cheryl. Crezia Tano, Chief Operating Officer with the Office of Economic and Workforce Development. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you today regarding the renewal of the mayor's behested payment waiver related to downtown economic recovery efforts. Thank you to Supervisor Cheryl for your co-sponsorship on this measure. I'd like to address some of the committee questions that were provided to us early this week and provide clear overview of how this previous waiver has been used and what we expect moving forward, and why this remains a critical tool for our city's economic health. The item before you today is a renewal of the previous waiver passed by the board this June. And this new waiver is similar to the one already in place, but includes some following additions, as recommended by some of the committee members. Potential new reporting requirements, refinement to parties covered by the waiver, and clarification to types of interested parties that may be engaged. Over the past 6 months, this existing waiver has supported significant private fundraising efforts aimed at revitalizing downtown San Francisco. Through the San Francisco Downtown Development Corporation, we have been able to raise more than $50 million committed to advancing the city's downtown economic recovery. These funds represent a major step in bringing resources in critical areas of downtown. Thanks to this behested payment waiver, we have received funding from the private sector that has been able to support key initiatives towards efforts like the Market Street Safety Program, which has placed ambassadors along Market Street and Embarcadero and Montgomery BART stations as commuters return to work. Power washing along the convention corridor near Moscone from 4th Street, along 4th Street from Market to Howard and Mission Street from 3rd to 5th. And very excitingly, we've been able to attract tens of thousands of visitors to our downtown, and these events include Downtown First Thursdays and upcoming holiday events such as Winter Walk and Let's Glow. This has increased foot traffic to our local businesses. As of November 19th, payments received under this waiver total $6.2 million. Our planned use for the waiver moving forward: Downtown San Francisco is San Francisco and the Bay Area's economic engine. Historically, this downtown has accounted for more than 40% of the city's resident employment, tax revenue, and small businesses. When downtown is successful, it powers important city services and employs San Franciscans from every neighborhood. OEWD and the mayor's office will continue to raise funds with the focus area on five key areas: safety, cleanliness, events and activations, support for large and small businesses, and improvements to our public realm. These investments are essential to ensuring that downtown remains a vibrant, competitive, and welcome center of economic activity for the city and the region. In terms of interested parties under the previous and new waiver that were solicited and who might be solicited under the new one, the goals of this waiver are fundamentally tied to the success of downtown. Businesses, building owners, and other private sector organizations with a presence and a potential interest in downtown are increasingly recognizing how vital downtown success is, not only for their own operations and employees, but for the broader economic prosperity of San Francisco and the region. While some of these stakeholders have historically supported the long-term health of the downtown core, partnerships with organizations like the DDC and support from the city help to ensure we are all rowing in the same direction. Many of these stakeholders could have business with the department, and for that reason, and out of an abundance of caution, we are pursuing a behested payments waiver and treating all parties contributing to this effort as potentially interested parties. We believe this assumption is the most transparent and responsible approach to ensure compliance with ethics requirements while advancing the city's recovery goals. As to the questions presented on public appeals, as a best practice, a combination of fundraising approaches is required to be most effective and beneficial. We have conducted broad outreach to potential donors, but individual outreach remains an irreplaceable funding strategy for the city. Some prospective supporters simply will not encounter, recognize, or understand the opportunity unless they hear about it directly from the department or the mayor's staff. Personalized engagement helps ensure that all capable partners understand both the need and the impact of participating in downtown recovery efforts. In closing, downtown success remains central to San Francisco's stability as a whole and its future. The renewal of this behested payment waiver is a critical public interest tool that enables us to continue to mobilize the private sector support necessary to accelerate recovery and deliver visible, meaningful improvements for residents, workers, and visitors. OEWD remains committed to full transparency, and under this legislation, we'll be reporting all donations solicited under the waiver to the Board of Supervisors, including any third party that was solicited. These reports will be submitted to the board within 60 days of the expiration date authorized by this waiver, and this will include the donor, the amount of donation, the party that received the donation, and the interested relationship to the department. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Colleagues? Supervisor Sherrill.
Thank you for being here today. You know, we've made real strides towards the revitalization of downtown over the past year and, you know, increased hotel occupancy, air travel to the city, but we're still far below pre-pandemic levels. And, you know, I think we're up, what, 60% in convention-related hotel bookings, up to 650,000, but we're still below the pre-pandemic average of, I think it's 850,000. And so I just appreciate you working hard on this. We really do need to pull on all the levers that we have to get the city back up and running. When we're looking at a potential budget deficit, not next year, but the year after, of $1 billion, increasing tax revenue from downtown is just incredibly, incredibly important to avoid mass service cuts. So I just appreciate you bringing this forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here and answering a couple of my questions in advance. I have a series of questions, so thank you in advance. First off, I just want to be clear about how much the mayor's office is aiming to raise for this effort. I believe you said it was $6.2 million that was raised. I'm seeing a September 9th press release about $40 million will be leveraged from the private sector to build a downtown where people live, work, play, and learn. This is around the Heart of the City initiative.
So to clarify, I think the number that was reported in that press release was the total amount fundraised by the DDC, one of our partners. There are several organizations within our downtown that actively fundraise for initiatives. It isn't always the case that the mayor or OEWD staff are included in those requests. And so the 6.2 that was referenced are the ones where city staff were actively engaged in that conversation.
Thank you. Will the waiver be used to fundraise to support the recovery of all of San Francisco? I mean, our small businesses, especially in the Mission, Petro, Bernal, where I represent, are still very much struggling, as you know. So to see an eye-popping number like $6.2 million being raised for downtown, while we also are standing up a small business fund to support any displacement with respect to the family zoning plan, that yet has to be funded. So I'm just wondering what support is being garnered for other neighborhoods outside downtown?
Yes, thank you, Supervisor. The legislation does aim at revitalizing the entirety of the city, but with a primary focus on downtown. I think, as you know, in your work with our office, we are very committed to supporting the success of all of our commercial districts throughout San Francisco, in particular, the Mission. I know that you're in high contact with Diana Ponce de Leon and Rafa Moreno, and so those are of equal importance to the department and to support. And so we are going to be engaging in a series of budget town hall meetings where we will be listening to the entirety of the city and understanding the needs.
So will this waiver be used to raise funds for initiatives outside of downtown?
It has the ability to.
According to my understanding, the only entity that received funding under this initial waiver was the Capital for Good for Downtown Development Corps. Is that correct?
At this point in time, yes.
Are there other third parties other than that entity that the mayor will pass payments to?
I would love to set up a briefing with the mayor's staff. They are far more engaged on the larger strategy for fundraising, and we'd be happy to sit down with you and your staff to go over that.
It's not just for me, it's for the public record.
We would be happy to set up a briefing for that and come back to this committee to report on those items.
I would prefer a venue where we could do that publicly. So let's figure out something where we can potentially have a hearing, something like that.
Be happy to come back to this committee.
Thank you. Can you identify all the specific interested parties that were solicited under the previous waiver?
I don't have that information on hand right now. Again, we could provide that information to you. The mayor's ethics secretary does track that information, and we could provide that to your staff, you and your staff.
I have asked for this information in advance, and that is why I asked the mayor's office to send someone who would know an answer to that question, because I think that's pretty critical to being able to decide how we move forward in this new waiver. So the Conway Family Foundation, do you know of any potential interested party relationship?
I don't know the details. I do know that charitable funds and other family foundations have been engaged. And again, I don't have the detailed list of all the individuals and organizations that contributed. I would be happy to help facilitate getting that information to you.
Again, I asked for this information in advance, and I don't put it on you. It is on the mayor's office, I think, to share what parties were behested. This is all also from the mayor's own 803 forms that he has to file officially. But the Conway Family Foundation, the Resiliency Fund, Lior Susan, Shorenstein Realty Services, LP, and Ripple Labs. Does the mayor's office believe that any of these are potentially interested parties?
I would say that if someone has given in the past, they are definitely a prospect for the future.
And why would they be interested parties?
There are a variety of reasons why someone may be an interested party. As you know, OEWD has an extremely diverse portfolio of work, and we would be doing San Francisco a disservice to limit the potential prospective funders for this campaign and this initiative.
All right. Does the mayor's office believe that there are any other entities or persons solicited under the initial behested payments waiver that have not yet been reflected in the mayor's 803 filings?
It's my understanding that the ethics secretary does abide by the reporting of the Form 803 within the 30-day reporting period. So there very well could have been more recent donations under the behested payment waiver that just haven't been filed through the Form 803.
How are we supposed to decide? How are we supposed to sign off on the statement in this new waiver that these behested payments do not create an appearance of impropriety if we don't even know if they're interested parties?
I believe revitalizing our downtown is a core initiative of San Francisco's economic vitality, and I cannot speak to the impropriety. And I think, as we have heard from prior departments who have come to this committee, this is why we want the waiver to cover us, because we are doing our best to revitalize our downtown and our city. And I think these are all the intention to save San Francisco needs to be at our forefront.
I appreciate that. The previous waiver that we just renewed, they shared what the type of interested party they were engaging, mentioning Housing Accelerator Fund, why they're interested parties, because they potentially lobby for policy changes. And so I'm not hearing anything about why these behested parties might be interested parties. And so I literally can't make the decision about whether or not they create an appearance of impropriety. And so colleagues, I'm going to move to continue this item until we can get the ethics officer that presents this kind of information, would it have the responses. And I did ask in advance if someone from the mayor's office can speak to these questions. No fault of your own. Thank you for coming here. I'm going to make the motion to continue this item to the call of the chair. Supervisor Sherrill.
Chair Fielder, I think you brought up some really good questions, and I appreciate those, and I do think we need answers to them. My inclination here would be to move this forward so that we can continue to raise funds to support, and I think you brought up a good point, more than just downtown, all parts of the city. But I am very supportive of getting the answers that you asked for, because I think those are important. My inclination in this is to move this forward so that we can continue to generate funds for our needed recovery. And I think we can do that in parallel with these answers, but I do agree with you that getting the answers in a clear period of time is definitely good, and I'm very supportive of that. So I just want to let you know that I think I disagree on the continuance versus moving forward, but the sentiment of the answers I very much do agree with.
Thank you, Supervisor Sherrill. Vice Chair Sauter.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to echo that sentiment. I mean, of course, I'm biased representing much of downtown, but I share the need for more investment in the rest of our neighborhoods. And whether that is done through this behested waiver or we need a separate one, I think that's a question we should explore. We have a lot of other neighborhoods that need investment, even neighborhoods that are literally blocks from downtown that need investment. And I believe that we can do both. I believe we have to do both. You know, I want to avoid this age-old battle of neighborhoods in downtown. I think they are dependent upon one another, and I think we need to be mindful of that in this waiver and how we think about waivers. And the questions, Chair Field, that you brought up are good. I would prefer us to have them in this waiver itself, and so that they're put into this waiver and future waivers so that we set the expectation and the standards of what is required. You know, I understand there's an amendment here to add the 60-day reporting requirement, and I'll be supportive of that. And if there's other reporting requirements or standards that we need to set, I think we should do that. I won't be supporting a continuance because I know this is lapsing soon, and I don't want us to get off track with our fundraising efforts.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll on the motion?
Do we want to open up for public comment?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. It appears we have no public comment.
Thank you. Seeing no public commenters, public comment is now closed.
And on the motion to continue this item, to the call of the chair, Vice Chair Sauter. Vice Chair Sauter, no. Member Sherrill? Member Sherrill, no. Chair Fielder?
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have one aye and two noes. Vice Chair Sauter, no. Chair Fielder, Member Sherrill, no.
Motion fails. I'm going to continue with my questions, but I will pass it to Supervisor Sherrill.
I had a question for either you or for the clerk, and I apologize here. There is an amendment for this behested payments waiver. I just want to make sure we haven't missed considering that amendment, that it would be a motion we'd make.
Not yet.
So, great. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
All right. Okay, so for the current waiver, can you identify the specific interested parties who would potentially be solicited in a statement as to why the department believes the parties to be interested parties under this new waiver?
No, we did include language that provided characteristics of the type of parties we could. So that includes businesses, property owners, other stakeholders.
If donations are being solicited from interested parties through the grant of this waiver, can you explain why the office believes this waiver does not create an appearance of impropriety?
Again, I believe this work is really critical, and I don't believe that the lack of hyper-defined parties is inappropriate.
I don't quite understand that, since we don't know what the interested parties are necessarily. But nevertheless, we'll move on. So, are you able to submit a memo detailing the interested parties you plan to submit through this waiver, the identity of them if they are known, and why the office believes that they are interested parties?
I will confer with my colleagues in the mayor's office on our ability to do so, but at this point in time, I can commit to looking into that.
Thank you. It was customary under the previous GAO committee before myself and my colleagues took these positions. Would you be able to submit that in the legislative file prior to this item being heard at the full board?
I can commit to looking into that. I cannot make that guarantee at this point in time.
Just for the record, HSH is committing to the same for their waiver.
I understand, but at this time I cannot commit to it, but I will look into it immediately after this committee hearing.
Thank you. It's not a superfluous ask. It is required by the ordinance that, quote, a proposed resolution that seeks a waiver shall summarize the purpose of the solicitation and shall identify the type of interested parties or the specific interested parties when the identity is known, to whom the solicitations would be directed, and a statement as to why the department believes the parties are interested parties. Again, thank you so much for coming to present this item. I really personally wish someone from the mayor's office, like the ethics officer, could have been able to be here as I requested the mayor's office. So my questions are not landing on your shoulders. They really are, I believe, the mayor's office's responsibility. And I'm very disappointed that they would not dedicate one of their many dozens of representatives to be here to answer these questions. Thank you so much for answering my questions. Appreciate it. And Madam Clerk, do we need to take public comment again? Okay. Anyone else want to make remarks, comments, questions? All right. I'm introducing amendments to this item to add reporting requirements to the Board of Supervisors 60 days after the expiration of this waiver, in line with other behested payment waivers. And my colleagues have copies of them. And I now move to amend this item as presented.
Yes, and on the motion to amend this item as presented, Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill.
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder.
Aye.
Chair Fielder, I have three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Supervisor Sherrill.
Thank you for those amendments, Chair Fielder. With those amendments now in there, I'd like to move to send this to the full Board of Supervisors with positive recommendation.
Yes, and on the motion to forward this item as amended to the full Board of Supervisors with positive recommendation, Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill. Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder?
No.
Chair Fielder, no. I have two ayes and one no with Chair Fielder voting no.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call item three.
Yes, item number three is a resolution approving an agreement with the Nonprofit Owners Association for the Administration and Management of the Property-Based Business Improvement District known as the Dog Patch and Northwest Petrel Hill Green Benefit District, pursuant to California Streets and Highway Code Section 36651 for a period commencing January 1st, 2026 through December 31st, 2040.
Thank you. Today we have the Department of Public Works Executive Director Donovan Lacey and Esther Lee of the Green Benefit District who will be presenting this item. Ms. Lee, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Fielder, Vice Chair Sauter, Supervisor Sherrill. I am Esther Lee, Government Affairs Liaison with the San Francisco Public Works. I would like to provide very brief remarks and then invite Donovan Lacey, Executive Director of the Dog Patch and Northwest Potrero Hill GBD to the dais. The resolution before you is a resolution to approve the 15-year management agreement for the Dog Patch and Northwest Potrero Hill Green Benefit District, a special use district whose renewal was approved by the Board of Supervisors on July 22, 2025. The management agreement is a contract between the city and the GBD for GBD programs that supplement public works services. The agreement outlines performance and financial reporting requirements of the GBD to the city, responsibilities of the GBD as a 501c3 nonprofit for fiscal accountability. The agreement also outlines the obligations of the city through the controller's office to collect and disperse special assessments for the GBD under the specified schedule and terms outlined in the agreement. So the agreement has been reviewed by City Attorney Manu Pradhan and ready for approval by the Director of Public Works. I'd like to invite Donovan Lacey to the dais to provide brief remarks about the GBD.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Chair Fielder, Vice Chair Sauter, and Supervisor Shadero. And of course, the committee staff for being here today. It's great to see you all again. I know that your time is valuable, so I really appreciate you taking up this item. I'm Donovan Lacey. I'm now the Executive Director of the Dog Patch and Northwest Potrero Hill Green Benefit District. I'd also like to thank Supervisor Walton and his staff, Percy Birch, Lindsay Lopez-Weaver, and the entire D10 staff for their support. I'd also like to thank our DPW partners, program sponsor Jim Requesio, Community Engagement Manager Ramsey Alvarez, our Government Affairs Manager Ian Schneider, and of course, Esther Lee, our Dog Patch neighbor and DPW Affairs Liaison. As you've heard me say before, and you'll hear me say again, I'm extraordinarily proud of the work that the Green Benefit District, City and County of San Francisco, and our entire community have accomplished to create, enhance, and maintain the green public open spaces in Dog Patch and Northwest Potrero Hill over the last 10 years. The GBD is a registered nonprofit, as Esther has mentioned, with a 15-member board, elected volunteer board, as local board. Since our founding in 2015, we have tripled the amount of the measly amount of 2 acres of green space. Now we're at 7 acres, and we are nowhere near done. Since we've also brought in, we basically transformed derelict properties. You've seen them. I can show you pictures. I would love for you all to come visit them. Unused vacant lots, the unaccepted paper streets that we seem to have more than our fair share of, into tree-filled green spaces that provide places for our rapidly, which seems to be continually growing population, to relax, to recreate, to connect with our natural environment, and to create community. We've taken the $5 million of tax assessment dollars and leverage that to bring in more than $16 million of public and private funds and grants over the course of the last 10 years. And by approving this agreement and to administer and manage the GBD will allow us to continue to do those things that have made us successful and have made us so garnered so much public support. It'll enable us to continue to do the sidewalk and trash and debris clean up, the graffiti abatement that we work with DPW on, to continue to maintain the landscape, to create these green spaces. It'll allow us to do those capital improvement projects, not just on our existing parks and green spaces, but to create more. And of course, it will enable us as a community organizer, it will enable us to engage with our community, because I think that's one of the most important things that this does. We've talked about downtown and revitalizing downtown. This is about community and about creating a space that we all can love. At our monthly meeting last night, our board discussed a number of new initiatives, things like a community learning garden. We're looking at creating a new living sound wall. We're also looking at doing new and different types of native plant and sidewalk gardens. That's just our current project cycle. Our pipeline is large, it is ever-growing, and it is evolving, and it's fed by the input from our board members, but probably more importantly, from our community. So I'm asking that you approve this agreement so that we can continue to do the work that we've been doing for the last 10 years for another 15. So thank you, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, any questions, comments? Vice Chair Sauter.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to express my support for this and, for the GBD as a model. I've seen through the years what you've done in that neighborhood and project by project and parcel by parcel how you've really improved it. It's a great model. I would love us to have more or at least more of this activity. So thanks for your work.
All right. Seeing no one else on the roster, Madam Clerk, let's take public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line them now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. It appears we have no public comment.
Seeing no commenters, public comment is now closed. I now move to send this item to the full Board of Supervisors with positive recommendation. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes, and on the motion to forward this item to the full Board of Supervisors with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill?
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder?
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call items 4 through 12 together.
Yes, items 4 through 12 are 5 ordinances and 4 resolutions authorizing and approving settlement of lawsuits and unlitigated claims against the city.
Colleagues, any questions or comments? If there are none, Madam Clerk, let's open up public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on these items should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. It appears we have no public comment.
Seeing no commenters, public comment is now closed. I now move to send items 4 through 12 to the full Board of Supervisors with positive recommendation.
Yes, and on that motion to forward items four through 12 to the full Board of Supervisors with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Sauter. Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill?
Aye.
Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder?
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, is there any other business before us today?
That concludes our meeting agenda.
Seeing no other business, we are adjourned.